From the American Tobacco Historic District, this is the State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. Earlier this month, President Bush unveiled a plan that would ask Congress for $7.1 billion to fund readiness for a possible avian flu pandemic. Now, the strain of flu that is of concern is called H5N1. It has been found in birds in parts of Asia and has led to several dozen human deaths. But as of now, the virus does not appear to spread easily from person to person. It has not been believed to have made the jump from birds to people, but officials are preparing for the worst. And not just in figuring out how to make and distribute drugs to counter it. Closer to home here in North Carolina, with 5,000 poultry farms and processing plants, there's great concern and preparation underway as well. Rose Hoban is health reporter at North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, and she joins us now to talk about how the public health system and the poultry industry in North Carolina are reacting to this scare of avian flu. Welcome, Rose.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi. Well, before we jump to talk about the poultry industry, a bit about the avian flu itself. This virus, H5N1, what makes it such a concern compared to other viruses that are out there?
Well, Melinda, Just maybe to clarify things, those H's and N's, they talk about the different kinds of surface proteins on the surface of the virus. And so it's a way of differentiating different kinds of flu viruses because there's lots of them out there. And this is an influenza A virus, which can affect both humans and animals. And the big problem with the H5N1 is that in humans, it has about a 50% mortality rate. That, in other words, half the people who get it die. And they're not just folks from the usual risk groups that we worry about, namely young kids or old people or people who are immunosuppressed. This is talking about pretty much everyone. It's people who are at the prime of life who should be healthy.
And how's, in what you've looked at and studied, how is the public health system at the state level here in North Carolina dealing with this? President Bush, of course, is calling for $7.1 billion federally. How is that going across here at the state level?
Well, I mean, this is not a new concern. There's been preparations for this for a long time. Just in general disease surveillance, after 2001, after 9/11, a lot of states got money from the federal government to do bioterrorism preparedness, and the states were pretty smart about it. And they looked at this and they said, well, you know, bioterrorism, I mean, these diseases could come with a terrorist or they could come just with, you know, someone who comes from abroad. So one of the things that the state has done, and North Carolina has been in the vanguard for this, is getting computer systems into hospital emergency rooms all over the state. About half the hospital emergency rooms right now in the state are equipped to do what's called syndromic surveillance. So people come in and they're complaining of something, not what their official diagnosis is. It's the people who come in complaining of what we call influenza-like illnesses or ILIs. There's other syndromes that they follow as well, but there's almost real-time tracking of the number of ILIs in the state. So what people at the state epidemiologist's office can do is they can look and they can see, wow, there's, you know, a threefold increase of people complaining of influenza-like illnesses in Johnston County. And we can respond to that by going out and kind of investigating why are there so many people coming in complaining of flu-like illnesses. So the state has been preparing this for a long time. The plan that came out last week from the president and from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, it's a big 300-page plan. I think everybody is still digesting it and looking to integrate it into their own state plans. But North Carolina has been preparing for a while for something like this.
That gets to the issue of the tracking, but is that after the horse has gotten out of the barn door? Is there anything underway to prevent the barn door from opening, that is to say, to keep the flu away?
It's going to be tough to keep the flu away. Now, we're talking about there's many ways flu could enter a state. When you're talking about animals, you could have wild birds flying in carrying the flu. the surveillance on those is pretty intense right now, and that's nationwide. That's not just in the state. In the state, in the poultry industry, there's a lot of surveillance. That would be sort of an animal carried flu. When you're thinking about, there's a lot of people who say that bird flu is probably going to come on the back of an airplane rather than the back of a duck. And so there's movement afoot to try and do surveillance about people coming into this country who might be sick. It's going to be tough because things might develop in Southeast Asia or Europe or Asia, and then folks who are not yet symptomatic might get on a plane and come here. That was what happened with SARS. So the problem of surveillance is goes far beyond North Carolina. It's far beyond national borders. It's international. The WHO met last week. Everybody met in Geneva last week. It was WHO, the OIE, which is basically the WHO for animals. And they all started talking about doing things about beefing up surveillance in Southeast Asia, which is the real nexus of bird flu. Mm.
And what is being done with the poultry industry here in North Carolina? We should say there are about 5,000 poultry farms or processing plants in the state. It's a huge business for North Carolina. I think the state ranks in the top five in the country, and poultry is said to be the largest food product that North Carolina turns out. So a lot on the line here. What's being done?
There's a lot on the line. It's a $2.5 billion industry annually here. And again, poultry producers, the commercial folks, have been thinking about this for an awfully long time. They've seen outbreaks in other states. And mind you, I mentioned before that, you know, H5N1 is the big concern that most people are thinking about, but there are lots of different bird flus out there. There's H5s and there's H7s, and there was an H, I'm probably going to get this number wrong, but it was at least an H something type of outbreak in the Shenandoah Valley in 2002 in Virginia that was devastating to the state. And so,
in that case, birds had to be destroyed because of that?
Oh, millions, 4 million birds and 130 million in losses. They couldn't export poultry from the state for like 6 months. I mean, it was huge. It was an enormous loss. So these folks in the poultry industry have been, they test frequently. The last year, the state, poultry industry did, between the poultry industry itself and the state lab, the Rollins lab in Raleigh, which does the state veterinary stuff, they did close to 200,000 blood tests of poultry to test for flu, for different types of flus, not just H5N1, but all kinds of flus. I visited a turkey farm last week, and they took their biosecurity very seriously. We had to spray off the vehicle with a disinfectant before driving onto the farm. I had to shower before going into the birdhouse where there were chicks. There were little baby poults, the baby turkeys. I had to shower, change into a set of clean clothes that they had provided for me, put on a pair of shoes that had obviously been bleached many times, and then put plastic covers over those before I could even enter the birdhouse. You know, pin my hair up, wash my hair, the whole thing. And then leaving, I had to shower again so that I could go into the next birdhouse, you know, at the next farm. So they're pretty serious about protecting their birds, because it's a big investment to have these birds. And if they get sick, they're, you know, they lose a lot of money.
Are these measures that they've just started imposing within the past year or so since this new threat of the avian flu came along? Or is this something, was this the regular way of doing business all along?
Oh, no. This has been going on for a while. There was I'm sort of getting the history on all this. There were big outbreaks of several different kinds of diseases, including Newcastle disease in the 60s and then one in 1974. And it really made the poultry industry sit up and take notice. And they started doing a lot of this stuff before that and or before now. So they've been doing this for 20, 30 years. And nonetheless, you know, sometimes these things do make the jump from farm to farm. And, you know, and it's stuff like if you walk in your shoes and then you go to a farm tomorrow, you might be tracking fecal matter with a virus on it onto your friend's farm. So they do stuff like they tell people, you know, to disinfect before going from one farm to another to, you know, clean off your tires, you know, don't borrow equipment from neighboring farms that have to, that might have been exposed to birds because you could carry bacteria from one farm to the other. So they're very serious about it and they've been doing it for a long time.
I almost wonder if the birds might have more of the precautions taken for them, and it's easier to do that for the poultry than it is for us bipeds, for the humans. Oh. I mean, it's especially in a day and age when the world is that much smaller because of you can just get on a plane. And a disease can travel in baggage, so to speak.
Oh yeah, I mean that's sort of the takeaway for me in a lot of ways. Now there's other birds out there. There's lots of people with backyard birds. There's the organic or organic slash pasture raised slash
free range
folks. The biosecurity is not as intense in the sense that they don't have the houses that the birds are housed in. Those folks are starting to really sit up and take notice and think about ways that they can protect their chicks as well. But it seems like birds are a much easier way to control the disease spread than humans.
Okay. Well, Rose Hoban, thanks for your update on the avian flu.
No problem.
Rose Hoban is health reporter at North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. Just ahead, we will be talking with musician Jeff Black and also an unauthorized look at college campuses here in the Triangle. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.